and think at what he has done. Opened the eyes of the blind, made atonement for sin, answered the is the wisdom and the justice of God. We've got to believe on him. Verse 22, now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in suspense, in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and he has, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, you've seen the evidences. They bear witness of me. You and I have seen the evidence. But you do not believe. Why? Because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. Let me pause here. Do not be of the sheep is the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. Do not be a sheep means I'm under the wrath of Christ. This is not something that you and I can be indifferent. I can't be confused about it. I have got to have an understanding of this part. Now, let me ask you, have you understood the things I'm saying? Have it been clear to you? Have you trusted in Christ? Are you understanding? I'm saying, hear me. It isn't enough to be here and to mark it off the list. It isn't enough to say that's interesting truth or he's telling the truth. It must be believed. It must be gravitated toward. It must be held. It must be embraced. It must be followed. And it's not enough to be in confusion. No, you have to be understanding. And if you don't understand, what are we to do if we don't understand the teaching? Ask questions of me, it's fine. But ask them of God. Matthew chapter 7.
Yes. I want to ask you a question of 29. My father.
We'll get there.
My father is giving them to me. He's greater than all. He's greater than all.
Yes. 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 Yeah. We'll get there.
My question is,
if it's one verse to come to
my voice, if I can hear my voice, and then they listen to me, they are my ears. Because it's the same thing that we could listen and they will hear me. Now my question is, let the mother of us here hear the voice of God. Along the way, maybe in 10 years,
as we'll get there,
later,
as we'll get there.
I can hear you, I understand you. But the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. That answers the question.
It's in Matthew, please, in chapter number 7. What are we to do if I'm in confusion? If I've heard the preaching, and I know it's true, what must I do? If I believe, I give myself to it, I embrace it, I follow Him. I follow Him. I live Him my life. I give up my life unto Jesus. I believe on Him for salvation, for acceptance with God, for reconciliation with God. I'm trusting in Jesus. And I'm living my life to save other people. I'm following Him. That's what He does. He saves sinners. That's what He's all about. It's the glory of God in other people's souls. I give myself away to Him. I embrace Him. But if I hear these words and I'm confused, I don't understand, I don't see it, I don't understand its glory, its beauty, it has no impact on my heart, what must I do? Ask Him.
I must seek Him.
Because to not be of His sheep is to end up in eternal hell. And He's not joking. He's not bluffing. And so Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, it will be opened. If you make this the most important thing in the world, you'll find God and you'll find salvation. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Is God willing to save you? He's only going to save the sheep. He's not going to save the goats. Is He willing to save you? Yes, He is. He'll only save us on His terms. It's repentance and faith. But He'll save us on those terms. And to repent means I turn from my sin. And I turn unto Christ as a sinner. And He gives me and you the mercy and grace to follow Him. He died upon the cross to give us the grace to follow Him. I can't follow Him in my strength. He's too holy as the Holy Spirit. But in His strength, His grace, His mercy, His love, He can give me the kindness and the love and the patience and the diligence and the self-control and through the Spirit and the joy that's on the way to heaven. He can give me everything I need to obey Him. That's what I must get from Jesus Christ, these Son of God. Verse number 13. Enter by the narrow gate. Don't just hear the gospel. Don't just say, if an American came and it was a good seminar. Oh, I learned a few things. Enter into this narrow gate. For it is wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads unto destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Verse 14, it's because narrow is the gate, and tight, and pressed, and difficult, and constricted is the way that leads unto life. and there are few that find it.
Is your Father, if he's going to give you eternal life, you ask him for it? Is the Father, if he's going to give you eternal life, you ask him for it? Ask him to give it. Don't go anywhere. I'm telling you, it's not as easy as you shake the preacher's hand. It's not as easy as you tell the church, I've made a decision with Jesus. There have been many who have made that statement and who've lived a horrible life. This thing is getting into contact with God by faith in Jesus Christ, to actually trust to put away your sins. It's God. To actually trust Him to give you the power to live a holy life that brings Him glory by bringing others unto salvation because you live for them to be saved. I don't live a holy life in order to get any higher point up with God. I'm as high as I can be in Christ Jesus. I live a holy life to help other people see God. I live a holy life for my own peace and joy in communion with God. But it doesn't earn me anything. But I live it. We must live a supernaturally transformed, powered life of God. Only the sheep can hear His voice to understand the gospel and trust Him. I understand imputed righteousness, and I understand imparted righteousness, and I understand a life of righteousness. In the Bible. I understand He put away my sins, and that's what makes me and you love Him. It isn't a mind state of, oh, He put away my sin, I will live in sin. If He put away my sin, I love Him, I will serve Him. That's what the woman had in Luke chapter 7. He that is forgiven of much, he loves much. That understanding, that caring and following, it got into her heart, transformed her life. It gave her soul meaning and fulfillment and joy and satisfaction and contentment and peace. Hope and holiness. These are the gifts of God. And what's going on with those Jews? But the Pharisees were saying, look, you've been holding us in suspense. He has not. He's been speaking unto us clearly. For it was on Thursday, it was on Saturday, and today's Monday. How many meetings are there? Five? Four. He's been clear every meeting. It's been in the past. Are you in suspense? Or do you embrace Him? I'm saying that to be outside of Christ is dangerous. It isn't a place of any sympathy from God if He comes at this moment. If there's nothing then, it'll be too late. And the door is shut tight. Open it now. Knock on the door now. Get to Jesus Christ. Don't be not of this sheep. This is very important. I'm pressing you to get to Christ and make your life as me. Obtain the blessing, the promise of the Son of God. And there is not a father here who would tell his child, if he came asking bread, to hand him a snake or a scorpion. No, if we come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, now he'll hear us, he'll receive us, he'll give us eternal life, but you've got to come now. Today is the day. You hear his voice, don't harden your heart. There are too many that get too close unto the kingdom, and they know it's true. And because they know it's true, they think that they can walk away and come later. And they never come. The sheep here, his voice. So if I'm not a follower, I'm in danger right now under the wrath of God. So I plead with you, I beg you, that the men preaching is not just preaching. I have a goal in mind that you can say, this is our passion, this is our ambition, this is our goal. This isn't just standing up preaching and I get paid. So I did my duty. It's more than that. You've got to be saved. That's what preaching is all about. Your salvation. You've got to have it.
Let's go back in the text. In the book of John, please. In chapter 10. And we're going to get unto our brother's question. And then we should stop. It's our last point here is in verse number 29, verse number 30. But let's, it's from John 10. Let's pick it up at verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice. That's what we've been talking about the whole time. And I know them, and they what? They follow me. It's an absolute statement. There are no disappointments. All of the sheep, they follow our Lord Jesus. They don't just hear, but they also follow. Verse 28 is the reward. And I give them what? Eternal life. If he called it abundant life, in verse number 10, that's the quality of joy. The eternal life is the joy that goes on forever and is perfect in heaven. It's the perfect life. It's the best thing. Either we get everything or we get nothing. And even worse than that, we get punishment. And look what it says. It's going to answer the brother's question. And they shall what? They shall never perish, and neither shall anyone, not the devil, not their sin, not themselves, not their wife, not their mother, not their children, not money, anyone snatch them out of my hand. They will follow me. It's my Father who has given them to me in the eternal covenant. Back before God was made a man. He is greater than all the obstacles, all troubles, all the devils. And no one, he can't be any plainer, no one is able to snatch them, to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then he adds a double assurance. I and my Father are one. Is anybody able to snatch us out of that? I and my Father are one in essence. He is the eternal God. He is from the beginning. In Philippians in chapter 2, in verse number 6, is a well-known verse. In Philippians 2, talking about Christ Jesus, in verse 5, he says, in verse 6, who being in the form of God, and you can only be in the form of God if you are God, because God is spirit, and he has no end or beginning. He knows all things with all power in his hands. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God.
He was God before he was a man. And he, according unto John 1:1, he was with God. And he was God. And he was in the beginning. In the very beginning. But he became a man. But when he says that I and my Father are one, he's saying even more than that tremendous thing. They are one in purpose. They are one in agreement. He says, I give them eternal life, and my Father says that they shall never pass. He says, I lay my life down for the sheep, and my Father, he gave me the commandment that I be resurrected. They are together in our salvation and totally united. And there's nobody that shall pluck us out of it. Let me ask a question. Are my sins, are they able to pluck me out of it? If I fall like David, if I fall like Samson, if I fall like Jonah, if I run away like Mark ran away, if I go back into Jerusalem as Paul did after he was told to go unto the Gentiles, is anything able to pluck me out of this? Are my sins able?
No.
Are my sins able?
Yes.
We are holy. Give it a step for you. Since Jesus has already given his life for us, so we are about to call it a sin, but that sin will not make us to lose our life. Because it is a struggle of life. So we are bound to cross and we challenge again. Because Jesus spoke to us, even though when we sin, we will go back to him and pray for forgiveness of sin. Because already we are with Jesus. I have to worry how it is flowing touch. What is there at the start? He's already paid for us. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10. And you guys have some time.
But just be patient. It's from Hebrews in chapter 10. He's already paid for our sin. How much sin did he pay for?
All or only half? Did he pay for all my sin or only my sin
up until at the age of 6. Okay, all of my sins are only my sins before I became a Christian. When he took our sins and laid down his life on the sheep, how many sins of ours did he take?
All of them.
Then how can I be punished? What's he going to punish me for? He's already paid the price of sin. Salvation is God, not man. It's not what man does. It's what God did on the cross. It's not me and you. It's him. It's him.
And we need to stop this self-confidence
and put our trust in Jesus Christ over going to hell. Because if you're trusting yourself, you'll die in your sin. That's a guaranteed fact. You trust in Jesus. You follow him. You'll never perish. This serious matter.
It's the whole glory of God. It's all of our salvation is on this line. From Hebrews 10, verse number 16, through verse 18. This is the covenant. It's the new covenant. It's the one he paid for and ratified with his blood. He's a mediator of the new covenant. I'm not in the old covenant. The old covenant, it demands I die. So he died in my place. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them.
What happens when God puts his law in my heart and mind? Am I going to follow him? Even if I fall down, am I going to follow him?
Yes.
A righteous man falls 7 times, and the Lord lifts him up. There's not anybody here that is without sin. If I can lose my salvation, it would only take a thought. Adam ate a piece of fruit. The standard is holy if he's relying on us, we can't make it. But if he puts his law in my heart and mind, I'll follow him even though I fall. And you ever see the stock market? Well, it's up. But it isn't straight up, right? It's up, it dips, it goes up, it dips. But if you look at it over time, it's gone up. And you look at a child of God over time, he has grown in grace. He's become more holy in his conduct. He loves God and he loves people more. He grows, he abounds. But it's not straight up for any of us. Even Daniel had to confess his sin.
Verse number 17. It's from Hebrews 10. Verse number 17. Then he asks, their sins and their lawless deeds.
What's going to happen to him? I remember them no more. Does that mean that he won't chastise them? He'll chastise them. But chastisement is an act of love. He that is without chastisement is a bastard. He loves his children enough to spank our backside, but he does not count our sins as his wrath. That happened at the cross. And he can't punish our same sins twice. He can't put us in hell and have his son die on the cross too. Who's going to pay for sins twice? It's impossible. He paid upon the cross. He'll make us live a holy life. And even as the one I fall down and he's chastising me with whips, it's because he's loving me and he's going to make me learn how to walk holy. That's That's God. He gives us eternal life, not temporary life, not probationary life, not short-term life. Eternal life.
Verse number 18. Now as to where there is the forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin.
If he has forgiven you and me, all of our sins, there isn't anything that me and you have to do to put our sins away from us. Some of my anger is overblown and some is necessary. Hear me. He only gives eternal life to people who follow him. So if I stop following him like you, if I turn away like it could be Baal, it could be Venus, and I love the present world, that means I have never known God. It's all a scam, it's all a joke, it was all fake, it was all hypocrisy. But if I hear his voice and follow him, and even as for when I fall down, he picks me up, I'm still his child. Because all my sins were paid for by him at the cross. And he guaranteed us eternal life when? Before time began. He promised, this person is not blind because of your sin. This person is blind to show the worth and the mercy and the glory of God. Saving them from their sins. And you see the difference? Peter, I pray for you that your faith that you never fail. And when you are strengthened in Christ, after you've been humble and you believe, and you do it with a willing and a loving heart, because you've been forgiven again. But Judas, how would you do? You just fix it. It had been better for you to have never been born. That's only fair to those who can't hear the voice. But the ones who hear the voice and they respond and they follow him, they're going to live a holy and a Christian life. In spite of our faults. And there may be times that I look like I don't know God. But I do. And the evidence I do, he picked me up and put me back in the grave and made me stronger and made me hate sin more and delivered me out of it. That's the evidence. I keep following. Those who follow have eternal life. And so the question isn't can I fall away? It's the question is, am I following? If I'm following, if I'm walking by faith, there's nobody that can take me out of my life. We are safe. We are safe. It's in the U.S. to play sports called baseball. If you're on the base, you're safe. I can't be tagged out. And if I'm in Christ and I'm following him, not just I have a temporary, but I'm following him, I'm safe. So are you following Christ Jesus? No. I'm following. I'm safe. I have assurance. It's another text.
You can ask your question after this text if you still got it.
Hi, sweetie.
It's in It's in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 3 through 5 from 1 Peter 1. Mm-hmm. Is the first one was asking this question at the end of either the first or the second meeting, probably the first meeting, and I should have turned into this text. And so let's have a look at it now. 1 Peter 1, verse number 3 through 5.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. As to what does it mean to be begotten? Here. He had gotten us again. So what does that mean?
The living hope.
Nothing to the living hope. Yes, I born again into a living hope. In the first birth, we knew sinners. We could not hear his voice. In the new birth, if we hear his voice of his Father, he put his law inside of us. He has put inside of us a new creation in his Father. His spirit is inside. I got a new heart. I'm a new creation. I'm born again. Let's just pause here. Get the eyes to look at the big layer. If you realize in the new birth of when the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again, he's really saying that you must be born from above. And you understand that for what it means. It's a new heart. It's a new spirit. It's a new you on the inside. But you have, the old you is still there. But it's not I, it's the flesh that's in me. I'm a new creation. And the law of God is on my mind. I delight in it. It's a new issue is inside of this body who is holding. And he's at war with sin, and he's strengthened by God, and he wins. And I've been begotten again into a living hope. Now, what is my living hope? Heaven. It's a living hope. Who? Christ in you is because of the glory. What makes him to be a living hope? If you look at it. All our sins on him were laid. And when he rose again, he promised us victory. You see, God, I am urging you, I am trying to get us to see our salvation is based on him, not me. Our eyes are on him, not myself. If our hope is him, he's victorious, not in me, how well I'm doing. And if we have our eyes on him, I've got hope and I've got strength from God. I'm following him. I'm looking to him. I'm believing him. I'm hearing him. I'm relying upon him. And if we look with the brazen serpent that is in the wilderness, he that looked younger, if I'm poisoned, but I look to him, I live. It wasn't if I look at myself. It wasn't if I try to fix myself. If I'm believing on Him. And that's why God so loved the world. And He gave His Son, and whoever believes in Him should not perish. It's Him. He that believes in Him is not condemned. He has everlasting life. Let's keep going. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, verse number 4 and 5 applies to everybody that has been born again and has this living hope. Whose hope is Christ? It's into inheritance incorruptible. Can it be corrupted? And undefiled. And that does not fade away. Is reserved in heaven for you. Are you going to get that? If God makes a reservation for you in heaven, are you going to get that? There's not anybody that can trust you out of here. It's impossible that this is not. Not even. Verse number 5 is who are kept. I'm persevering, I'm still believing, I'm following Him, by the power of Him. That answers the question. How does He keep me? I mean, faith. Through hearing His voice and through following Him, for salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Every person that has been born again is trusting in the living hope of Lord Jesus. And we are kept by the power of God unto an inheritance undefiled. It can't be corrupted. It can't be taken away. And I have a reservation already in heaven that has to be kept. Is that what the Bible says? Is there any confusion? Is it what the text says? Kept by the power of God through salvation. Through faith unto salvation. This power is going to actually make us keep on believing until we get into prayer. A question.
Yes, my question has been answered.
Very good.
Because based on your transcription that you have given concerning things that I hear the voice, but the thing cannot what it is. I ask it because I have brothers, and Christ along the way, they were needed.
Yes.
It pains me. So, anytime I remember the scenario, I get voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they never had salvation. The only evidence that I have salvation is I hear His voice, I understand the true gospel, I'm relying on Him, and I follow Him. If I stop following, I'm not trusting in the living hope. I'm not being kept by the power of God. I have no faith. But for those of us who are trusting Christ now, be assured He will keep you until heaven's glory. Be assured. Because it's not on Him and you, it's on Him. It's on Him. It was His love. He's going to do it through us. Is it possible for us to lose our salvation? is it possible for anybody to lose their salvation? Has anybody ever lost their salvation? And that's what happens. If you lose it, you never have it. Have lost. You still got it. And he's called in the New Testament, he is righteous Lot. After he's in the hall of faith. As King David, he still calls a man after God's own heart, except in this one area. As Solomon, he's still beloved of the Lord. Each of them got chastised severely. I'm scared of sin. I fear God. But I know for a fact I'm kept in the power of God until the finish line. I have no doubt. And that assurance, that boldness, that confidence, that joy, that's what makes you and me live the Christian life, because we're trusting Him. It's not by trusting ourselves. It is not a performance. It is not, I do my part and he does his part. No, his salvation is for we hear him clearly?
Yes, sir.
Are we following him? Are we going to follow him? Is there any more questions?
If the heat has come, we're going to close in prayer if there aren't any more questions.
Is anybody else to answer the question, sir? And there's a story in the book of Acts in chapter 20 of the young man that is up in the third loft, and he fell into a deep sleep that a brother Paul was preaching, and he fell down and they took him up as dead. But Paul said his life is in him. There will be times that believers will look dead and be a big question. But if they truly been born, they shall actually rise from it. They shall rise from it. And be scared of sin. I'm scared of sin. I don't want to sin. I love to live the Christian life with joy, with a clean conscience, with power over sin. But that is my trust in Jesus, in His grace, His love, His kindness, His compassion, His ability to actually make us able to live the Christian life. He's able. I'm so confident it's because He's able. It's on Saturday, it's the preacher's class, and it was from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 1, it said, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. And it hit me, sir, that all the strength that me and you need to live the Christian life with boldness and zeal is in the grace of Jesus Christ. And it is the greatest lie that has ever been told to make us think that God won't give us grace to live the Christian life. He will. He'll overcome our sins. He'll give us confidence, peace, and joy. He'll give us power over sin if we keep leaning on Him instead of ourselves. The grace of Christ. He laid down His life for the sheep. And the Lord bless you. Amen. Bless all. Thank you, brother, for prayer.
I'm going to ask for who will free of the men if you will close us in prayer. Who will free of the men?